What were the reasons why some of the outstanding Rosh Yeshiva of our generation advised Talmidim not to accept any government funding, especially when that funding was critical for them to stay in the Kaiser Mizem Elmash? I was that advising go to work first before taking any government funding, which means WIC and HUD and food stamps or Chedayma. It looks like this question continues. There are many Chashu Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Meir Stern being one, that holds that it's a Chilat Hashem for Beit Eicher to take money from the government like HUD, food stamps, etc. He has been saying for 30 years that the Chilat Hashem is absolutely enormous and will lead to terrible cynicism. He has advised many Chashringalai to go to work rather than go through the government's programs, even if taken legally. His point is that we are here to bring Kavod Shemayim, and lining up at the HUD office is not how that is done. He also believes that Torah needs to be supported by Klal Yisrael, not by governments. What is Rosh Yeshiva's thoughts about this issue? So this guy is already explaining what he understands, what Reb Meir Stern and Rabbi Yisrael, others that advise the Talmidim, explaining it. He doesn't explain it well. He says it's a Chilat Hashem. What's the Chilat Hashem if they're poor? Poor people are entitled to this. The government is supporting the poor. Like, he didn't explain what exactly is the Chilat Hashem. If a person is poor and he takes and he accepts from a kupa, that's not a Chilat Hashem. So it wasn't explained that well, but he wants to know what my thoughts on this are. I'm not here to be machri among the Gdolei Yisrael at all, but I do want to tell you what I understood, why they would advise this way. And I do also want to tell you that if you're a Talmud of theirs, maybe you have to listen. If you're not, you do just do the Minhag Lakewood, and Lakewood is a great city before they take under the Minhag Lakewood is to take. So you don't have to worry about them. But if you want to know, if you really understand the good, then you have to be Chayshuvit, or if you're a Talmud of these members of the rabbinical establishment, then you should definitely be Chayshuvit L'divrayim. The reason that I've heard over the years, the first one came from Rabbi Yisrael, that he believed if you're going to do it really perfectly legal without any drink, there's no way for you to get a penny. On the shtege you live. You don't live like those Schwarzes without nothing. There's nobody here that lives that way. So Elamai, you're going to do it with kulis and with erlich sard gnevis. So he believed that from erlich ganav vert mina erlich ganav. He believed that you've been allowing yourself those kunsen and those things, and Rabbi Plani was matiris, Rabbi Plani was matiris, and this cheshem, that cheshem, and this doesn't really count, this really got some other way, and this is off the book. From the erlich ganavis vert mina emes ganav. That is what he believed, and that was one of the reasons that he didn't like it. He also thought that the person himself, the Balt, we are not Schwarzes, we are, Dahimene mentioned, we're going to feel Yovet from it also. So he was Cheshit Mishum Kach. I think Rabbi Stern is mostly concerned about the Nekud of Chil Hashem, and I want to explain that Chil Hashem. The secular world will always overrate how many of us are on these programs, and will always publicize it. And to them, it's a big bezoyin to be poor. So like, the pastors that the Am Hashem that should be gebenched is so poor and downtrodden, this passes more for the blacks, or for the Asians, or for this, like we can design, so Mamela is very Chil Hashem and always be overrated. Let's say in the Lakewood community, it's only a million of people that are on HUD. In the case of Yeshiva, it might be more than that, but I mean, the Lakewood community is actually a meal, but it'll always be over it, it'll be written about in the papers, and always there. So they look down at that. They look down at this whole Tzibra is Aniyim. Aniyim itself is Benem and Bezoyin, and Mamela, like, it just doesn't pass that the Am Hashem and the Am HaNivcha should be so knocked around, and there might have been an element of Chil Hashem. That's an old shayla, but when it makes sense, I mean, you ever learned to Gemara Shtei Gezlakim is Mutter, but it's also Mishum Chil Hashem? Did you use that catch then? Ipsa Mutter, so what's the Chil Hashem? You have the catch right there. I got the catches 100 places. You should send in that shayla. It's a big question. Sometimes you say this way, sometimes you say that way. Is there any system to this? But I'm just saying over, what I've heard mentioned is what these Chacham are concerned about.
That is not perfectly legal,
is that? That's a shash that you're going to get caught and you won't get away with it. But this, even on the side, you get away with it, they're afraid of. That's the point. I've added the chash, this and the chalil and the schal sheshmael yod is a big issue. But even before that, they're making a point. That if you're going to do it mamish legal, there's no way to do it. There's no way. So Elamai, with Rabbi Plain, he said this had to, and Rabbi Plain, he said that had to, and this and that, so... This is what they're concerned. There was another thing that was voiced among these Chachamim, which I don't understand 100%, I can just say it over a little bit, that they feel it's not a derech. There's such a thing as taking from a tamchoi, taking from a tzedakah, then you at least meshubah to that person. Here there's no shiva, there's no nothing. It's a bistoyu le derech. Nishtet tzipanosa, and nishtet is any shibut. It's sort of like a hefkidik way of life. There was some that eared such a sentiment. I don't understand that 100%. You know, why do you need the shiva? But they look at it that, you know, not as panosa, not as really tzedakah. It's toyu loy derech. Okay. You asked me to explain the thing that I told you I don't understand so well. I was promising you, do not pick my brain because I don't have a brain on that 100%. I was promising that very clearly. I was just that you, that alarmed them like you shouldn't start nudging me because I don't really know it 100%. But I did answer that much. It's different than tzedakah because there you feel a sheep, but here it's without a sheep. That much I did say. What's the matter, Rabbi Shmuel? We know how to talk to each other. Yeah. I don't understand it 100%. But you have to still to the Das Teir to get your soul. You gotta get there, you know?
Do you call them because you're choosing not to work at the very long program?
You know, again, is that often? Like, could they write that up in the paper, this is the Kehillah that don't not want to work and don't want to? If they could, then it would be. But if they can't, but even if they can't write it, they will write it. You know what I mean? So, Mamela, that's all part of the other smoke. It's always magnified. Anything this Kehillah does, Yiddish Kehillah does, is always magnified to the negative, and you always get the Din L'Kaf Chayiv and all that. So that's why it's always bold. This is their considerations.
Why could we do it?
Oh, well, how do you mastic the Minig Lakewood? Somehow everything is Lamayim and Ateva, and it's like Shevet Levi Bavad, and somehow like the whole Teva has to be kofif to this. I don't know exactly, yeah. But, you know, this is a big Tzibur B'nei Teira, and this is the Minig, and, you know, those are Hashkafa things, they're not Halacha things, you know, those are Hashkafa, so the Babylonian. These Shailas come up not just about government programs. The shayas that are coming up lately that are coming that I've been hearing about is doing het to iske just to stay in learning. The hard money lending, things like that. Is that, you know, is it justified? You know, how much do you justify sitting and learning? Like that's really the issue. No one could do chalila het and ninda het even rabbanon. The question is certain things that are loopholes and coolers. So not all het to iske are coolers, but the ones that really are, the ones that are a little sneaky and a little manila shusateva, what's with those? Is that a derech taka? You know, these kind of questions come up. So there's always the difference on that. Cool
Hashem is not halachot?
I don't understand, but the cool is a cool Hashem.
It's halachot, it's not
true. Let's say it's a chil Hashem to people when they see on a hot summer day, these make their wives and their children dress fully covered up to here and up to there, and they can't. Oh, and it's a mamash chil Hashem, they're angry. You also start going to scream that? It's all confused perception over here. It's not like it's in that way. So that's where it's an issue. You understand what I'm saying? Let's say, what you make your wife. I recently went to a doctor, and it was a very hot day, and I was in the garb, and like she said, oh, this must be terrible for you, like, you know, like being menachem b'tzarasi, I'm being mishtata b'tzayra, they have this religion that makes it, you know. So I said, I certainly would rather this than walk around like an animal. And that was it. This woman that was smeared like this, I mean, it was just a nurse, it wasn't a doctor, but she didn't say another word, and did everything coldly and angry. But you tell me my religion is no good because never in the heat I got to wear this, right? What are you doing? You know? I'm not scared of this woman. My religion means more to me than my yachas with this person. So I said it. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, men are shy. So how clear is it? You know, there's certain chil Hashem of, you know, lavra and gimel chamuras. You know, the things that are in halacha that way.